Okay. Shara Bodas Alakim, Women's Shear. I'm not sure if this is being taped or not. I can't figure this out. I don't understand the numbers here. But Sunday night, Yud Aleph Teves. Before we start, we're going to start again from Paragimel. But I want to share with you something very personal. That it's very interesting. You know, I learned Chavis Alavos a lot. I've learned it, and I had an insight into what we're learning, Shara Avodas Elokim. And I want to, as they say, share it with you. It's like I experienced something that really gave me an insight. No matter how many times you learn it, I understand now. I experience what he's talking about. Maisa shahaya kachaya. I lived in Muncie for 21. I was married in Muncie. I lived in Muncie for 21 years. And over the years, I got to know someone who's now a good friend and colleague, and in many ways a mentor. His name is Rabbi Landesman. He's a Rosh Besdin. He has a Besdin in Muncie and a Kollel. And I became very friendly with him, and we became chibrusos, and we did a lot of things together. We specialized in gittin, helping women get gittin, and b'chlal, we created a bezdin, and we had dentiras, and we became very quite good friends. We got along with each other well, and we got good friends. Now, the bezdin and the kollel were in the basement of his house. So I went there. So that's where I went. Every night, it was the night kollel, and whenever there was a Besdin session, and when we had all-night sessions of brainstorming, and a lot of times there were heavy cases, heavy shilas would come in by telephone. He became known, and he is today in America, as an expert in Hilchos Gittin and Eben Ezer. You know, Ksubas, Gittin, Kiddushin, all these things. And I spent a lot of time in his house. Now, he lived upstairs. I'm a friendly guy. I don't know, the world is different now. It was different then, even than it is now, 20 years later, 30 years later. I'm a friendly guy. I grew up on the Lower East Side. So I went upstairs to his house. I ate suppers there a lot of times when we were overnight. His wife made the kind of cookies that I liked. Pinwheel cookies she made. She knew I liked pinwheel cookies. I spent a lot of time in the house. I got to know all of his children. I made the bar mitzvah speeches for them. And I became, you know, then, you know, now I slept over there sometimes because in snowstorms we lived in walking distance from each other. But it was always a one-way street. In other words, his house was where the Sforum was, and that's where the Besdin was, and that's where the Kollel was. And I went there. Like, he never came to my house. Like, what are you going to do with my house? Like, my house is just a house. So I spent a lot of time in his house, and I became very friendly, like, with his wife and his kids, and, you know. And I'd say, I ate something. I became, like, very Hamish, very friendly. So 20 years went by like that. You know, I'm an old man already. More than 25 years, it couldn't have been more than 21 years, right? And it wasn't the whole 21 years, it was probably 15 years. 15 years that we cemented this relationship. Even when I left Muncie, I still go back there for Dinei Torah once in a while, as you know. Sunday night, I go from here to the airport. So I sleep by him, I eat by him, we're very Hamish. But it was always a one-way street. By nature, you know, there was just no, it wasn't like he wanted from me and I didn't give him. It just didn't come up because his house was the base of operations. All the plots were hatched in that house. So now, he has a few children living in America and a few children living in Eretz Yisrael, married children. So he came here now with it. He had Baruch Hashem Simchas, and it came out the Eibishter was Mazmin that he had one day after the other an upsharon of a grandchild, a wedding of a grandchild, and a bar mitzvah of a grandchild. 3 days in a row. The week of Chanukah. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So when I was in the last time, we were talking a few weeks ago, and he was saying that his son, who lives in Beit Shemesh, finds it that he's coming with his wife and three of his married children from America. They're coming, mamish to family, Baruch Hashem, b'li ayin hara. And one kid lives in Tzfas. They need a place to stay, and Beit Shemesh is very, the area that he lives in, Kiryat Haredes, his son. And it's hard. It's hard for them to find places for them, like apartments. They have children. The children have children already. And they don't know. It's like a big oil. So I said, I have a perfect solution for you. I have an apartment in Ramat Beit Shemesh. It's a 20 shekel ride away. 20 shekel. You go in a taxi back and forth. Here's the keys. You can have my phone. I'm only there Shabbos. Like, I don't really use it. I use it during the week, but I don't have to use it during the week. I have four bedrooms there. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Here. You can be there with your family. Everybody can come. Lekachavi. He was there this past week. Another week. Well, they came the Friday of Hanukkah. I mean, the seventh day Hanukkah they came. This past week, they were there the whole week. They were there Friday. Shabbos, they were anyway going to be where the Simcha was, in Beit Shemesh. And they were there the whole week. They took over the apartment. Now, I was so joyous. I was just pushing joyous. I was, like, they wanted to buy, you know, they thought they were going to buy us a present. I said, what are you, crazy? I've been eating your meals and sleeping in your, I was by you for 30 years, and I never did anything for you. And finally, I'm able to pay you back in some small way for everything you did for me for 30 years. I ate there, I slept there, I noshed there, I raided the refrigerator, if I'm hungry, I'd go to Desmond's downstairs, I'd go upstairs, make myself a cup of coffee, go see if there's any ice cream in the freezer. I mean, lovers like that. I'm not exaggerating. I said, and I'm finally, after 30 years, able to do something for you. I said, you're going to buy me a present? This is so good. And I felt such a pleasure. And then I thought of the Chayvus al Vodas, that we're learning, in Shara Vodas al Kim, what we learned in the Psicha. And that's what you're supposed to feel when you do a mitzvah. That joy. I'm finally, this is mamish, that joy that I felt, that I thought it was the most ludicrous, crazy thing in the world, that they would buy me, us, my wife and I. My wife had to clean the apartment. I didn't clean it. that they were going to buy us a gift. I said, the greatest gift you gave me is that you did, that I was able to do this for you. And finally, after 30 years, I can do something for you on this scale, And I felt such a sense of inner joy that after all these years, 30 years, 21 and 10, 30 years, I'm able to pay back. And that's what the Chayvus al Vodas wants you to feel whenever you do a mitzvah. I'm finally able to pay Hashem back. Hashem does, this is my, and I had this hergish, this is what he's talking about. Hashem does for me so much. This is silly. Hashem gives me life. My lungs work, my pancreas works, my thyroid works, my heart works. It's more than pinwheel cookies, right? It's a little more than pinwheel cookies. And that was for 30 years. And Hashem did it since I was born, since I was a Uber, 9 months. 9 months, and then my whole life. And if that's what he wants you to feel. Whenever you do a mitzvah, that's what you want to feel. I'm finally able. Because what can I do for Hashem? Just like, what can I do for him? It was always in his house. Everything was in his house. What can I do for him? Hashem doesn't need me. Everything's his house. I can't do anything for Hashem. And finally, something happens. It's Pesach, and Hashem wants me to eat matzah. It's the morning, Hashem wants me to put on tefillin. Hashem wants me to daven. Hashem wants me to get stuck. Hashem wants me to be good. Hashem doesn't want me to talk lashon hara. You're supposed to have this sense of total inner joy, which I felt, I have to tell you. I'm finally, and I, it's palpable. I can tell you it's palpable. When you finally experience it, it's palpable. It's like an, I could describe it to you. I'm not such a good talker, but it's a sense of inner joy. It's a joy. It's not even happy. Happy is not the good word. Joy is really a much better word. It's a joy that finally I can show my appreciation, my hakaras hatov. I can do something for him, and it's something he needs. He needs this now. Like Hashem still doesn't need it, but Hashem wants us to do it, and that's what he says. That's his lashon in the psicha. You just wow. I can, and that's the joy. See, other people talk about the joy of doing a mitzvah in other with other descriptions of joy. And it's all true. But it's not the Chayvus Halavdus, this is Mahalach. The joy, that's what we're learning in Shaar Avodas Elokim, that's what he spends so much time on in the Psicha. Other, let's say everybody says, Yivduos Hashem B'Simcha. Other Sfarim, the Ramchal, and others will talk about the joy that you're bonding with Hashem, and you know, other, I think more esoteric descriptions. Chayvus Halavdus has this joy that I am able to do something for the one who has done so much for me. And I can tell you, it's taka, an inner joy that finally I'm able, like, I never said thank you. It was like such an ongoing relationship. I never stopped and said thank you. Because it's still going on, right? And now I'm finally, and that's what the Chayit HaLavus is talking about. And that's the joy he wants us to feel when we do a mitzvah. I'm finally able to do something for Hashem. He gives me life. He gives me a house. He gives me a roof over my head. He gives me children. I have a car. I can live in Eretz Yisrael. I can breathe. I can walk. I'm able to do something for him. Just like the Landersons wanted to buy us a gift, Hashem wants to give us all the mabah. And you say, what are you, crazy? I don't need your Olam Haba. The very fact that I'm able to do something for you is all the Olam Haba that I need. I don't need anything else. Just, you let me, and then we thank Hashem that he made us, that he lets us do his mitzvahs, that he lets us be aware of him and do his mitzvahs. And like, wow, thank you. And like, then you thank him again. Like I ended up thanking them for accepting my offer. Because finally I was able to do something for them after all these years of eating pinwheel cookies. Okay, nice story? I think it's a beautiful marshal. It really, really, I think I felt it. I don't know if I'm saying it over in a way that you can share in the feeling, but this is mamish what he's talking about, and you're experiencing it. It's really mamish what he's talking about. Okay, let's go on to Perek Gimel. So he said, no matter how many times I've learned Chayvus HaLavus, I see now, I never was omeid. I never quite, I could say the words, but now I really know what he's talking about. That joy, that's the simcha of doing a mitzvah, that he holds is the joy of being able to do something for Hashem after you've reached a level of awareness of everything that Hashem does for you, because you've learned through Shaar HaBechina. Shaar HaBechina immediately precedes this. He says, look what Hashem does for us, right? And as we have, we did in the shul, we stopped now, I took a break for a while. Chayvus HaLavus is Shaar HaBechina is so rudimentary, so elementary, because it was written over 1,000 years ago. What did he know about the blood? What did he know about blood cells? What did he know about the lungs? And he writes in such glowing terms, look what Hashem does for us. And he writes in Shaar HaBechina that he's barely scratching the surface, because he didn't come to write a science book, he writes. He's writing Chayvus HaLavus. He's just touching upon, and then we read it and we laugh, because what he thought was 100 times what he was able to write, right? We know is 1/100th of what we now know, because it's 1,000 years later, and with the explosion of knowledge in the last, call it 200 years, the explosion of knowledge in the last century for sure, in the last 50 years, such an explosion of knowledge, just to know about the DNA molecule. It's like mind-boggling. And he didn't know that. He didn't know. Yeah. And he's talking about it in such, awesome terms, and saying that he's only scratching the surface. It's really, really, again, we have to say, after you finish Shar HaBechina, you're ready for Shar Avodas Elokim. And he says, that's what it's about. That's the psicha. Now let's start Paragimel again. Paragimel is, we said it last week, it has to be said again. He defines Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem does not mean in its essence to do mitzvahs. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean to obey Hashem. That's not what it means. These are all what they call in Hebrew, hashlachot. In Lumdisha terms, when you learn Gemara, they're called totsa'ot. I don't know if that's an Ivrit word. In Gemara language, it's called totsa'ot. Here, I think they call it hashlachot. They call it like ramifications. Thank you. But that's all. Obeying Hashem is a ramification. Argeder ho'avoda, he says in Paragimel, the essence, just like in Shara Bitachon, he says, what is the essence of Bitachon? He says, it's very good, the Chayes HaLavas. It teaches us how to think also. It's also a logic book. First, you have to define things. Before you can talk about them, you have to define them. The essence of Avodas Hashem, Ubir Chelkeha, and explaining its parts, Umailos Kol Chelek Me Chelkeha, and the qualities of each of its parts, who? Shegeder Ha'avoda, the essence is really, it's the most difficult thing in the world. The essence is to subsume, if that's the right word, your ego to Hashem. He calls it kaniya. Call it submissiveness, call it humility, submissiveness. We owe Hashem so much. So we're submissive to Him. That's what Avodas Hashem is, that attitude, that feeling, that hergish, that perspective, that worldview. That now, the beauty of Hashem is that you would think that someone that's developed in this walks around depressed the whole day. But it's not like that. See, that's true if you're submissive to another person, or you're submissive to a... But if you're submissive to Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibah, Vahanora, then you revel in it. Reveal, R-E-V-E-L. You revel in it. You go like, wow, I'm connected to the Melech Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, and that's the essence of Avodah. But there's no getting away from the fact that we have to be Avdei Hashem. We can't escape that. Hashem did not create us. We can't escape that. We're Avdei Hashem. Hashem didn't put us here to have a good time. And all the things that we learn about self-esteem and developing our potential and Tikkun Olam, whatever words you're used to, and they're all true. But it's a huge, huge but, and there's no mincing words, and there's no way to avoid it. It's all as Avdei Hashem. Where people go wrong, and where problems ensue, and where issues happen, is when people stop being Avdei Hashem, and they become full of themselves, even if they're from. Even if they built most those, and even if they accomplished great things, when they lose that sense of, I'm an Eved Hashem, and I'm doing this as an Eved Hashem, and they lose that humility, this is where the arrogance sets in, This is where the holier than thou sets in. This is where being judgmental sets in. This is where midos ra'os set in. When you lose that yesod, that foundation, that's what it's really all about, Avod Hashem. And this is really, you know, when I grew up, I mean, I hope I grew up. I still have a lot of growing up to do. But when I was growing up, what do you say, numerically, chronologically, in age, so feminism was like a huge, you know, it was a big battle. I remember like experiencing I experienced the 60s and the 70s with the Hefkerus and the, what they call the sexual revolution and the Beatles and everything. I grew up with that. That was my years. I was mamish in it. I mean, in it. We won't talk about that, but I was with the hippies. Like, that was my years. That was when I was an adolescent. And when I was an adolescent and in my young 20s, those were the Beatles were like the biggest koach in the world. The Beatles were the biggest koach in the world. And feminism was tremendous, tremendous, tremendous koach. Tremendous, tremendous koach. And, you know, without getting into the nitty-gritty, but it all boils down to being an Eved Hashem, really. That's what it all boils down to. And that's men have to learn that also, right? That everything they can do and accomplish, it's all, everybody's on an equal footing. Because everybody's, you can do the greatest things in the world. Really, this is what the Chavis HaLovis is saying. If you, it all is, it's like you're missing the whole basis of everything. If you don't feel that kniya, that everything I do is, like I'm a messenger of Hashem, I'm a shliach of Hashem, I'm an Eved Hashem. Hashem wants me to do this. I'm doing this as a conduit for the fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem. And this way, if things don't work out, you don't get angry, you don't get depressed, and you don't blame other people, and you don't get into fights, and you don't all the garbage that we see out there. Please. Pardon my language, that we see out there, even in, and people and all the things that go on that we see that we're upset about, even with good people, it's really, the bedrock, that's the word I was looking for. The bedrock is kniya. And that's what Eved Hashem means. Eved Hashem does not mean doing mitzvahs. That's really the totzaot. If I'm submissive to Hashem and it's His will that I do something, so I'm going to do it. But being an Eved Hashem doesn't mean to do mitzvahs. Being an Eved Hashem, says the Chavis HaLovis, is to be nichna. And he really elaborates upon this much more in, he actually wrote a whole shar, which we'll get to, and that's called Shar HaKniya. And he writes, what does it mean to be submissive to Hashem? Here he's just defining Avodas Hashem as that Kniya. And he, you know, you just, I'm trying, Eved Hashem, I'm here to fulfill the will of Hashem. I really don't have my own will. This is summed up in Pirkei Avos, in the Mishnah that says, there's two statements in the Mishnah, Asei Ritzono Ki Ritzoncha, but that's not really enough. You see, the Mishnah makes two statements. And we're going to see, I hold it fits in beautifully with the two levels that the Chavis HaLovis presents us with now. Because he talks about Kniya Tachtona, a lower form of Kniya, and a higher form of Kniya. The lower form of the Mishnah novel says, Asei Ritzono Ki Ritzoncha. You know, you do it. You know, so he tells you to do something, you do it. But then there's a much, that's pretty powerful as it is. But then there's an even more powerful statement that follows it, and that's Batel Ritzon Chomet Ne Ritzono, where you really have this loss of self, and you say, you know, I don't have, my will is to do the will of Hashem. That is my will. I have no other will. And really, this is a very high madrega. It necessitates a loss of ego, a loss of sense of self. Hashem, in his, it's not even nice, you know, Hashem always leaves us that sense of self because we have bechira. That's the only area in which I'm to feel independent of Hashem. Only in bechira. Not in what I accomplish, not in what I, because accomplishment is up to Hashem. That's what we learned in Shar HaBitachon. We don't do the results. The results is Bitachon. Hashem will supply the results. Remember we learned, I want to go be Mavake Chola, my friend in the hospital. The only thing that's in my hands is the decision and implementing the decision. Whether I'll actually be Mavake Chol, decision means, remember, says, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm busy, and I don't have time, and I don't especially like this person so much, but I'm going to do it. That's the decision. Then, the Chavit HaLovus also says, brilliant insight, he says, you have to plan. Because if you just say, I'm going to do it, so then you're too busy, you can't do it. So you have to say, at 3 o'clock, I'm going to have a babysitter come to the house, and I'm going to have the supper warming up in the oven, and I'm going to go into a bus, and you can't just say, oh, I want to go be Mavakachola. You'll never get to the hospital that way. You have to make a plan. But if it happens, it's up to Hashem. You can get to the hospital. She checked out already. You can get to the hospital. They just changed visiting hours, right? Or she's taking a test, or she's in therapy, and I'm just making up stories. And you get there, she's not in her room. So whether you accomplish is up to Hashem. The only area of ego that Hashem leaves, you spend a lifetime on this, right? I'm choosing, I'm making the right choices. So there's plenty to do. We don't have to feel, there's no room for depression, there's no room for lack of self-image, because Hashem says that He leaves it up to us to make choices. But the choice is, or should be, to be an Eved Hashem. The choice is, as Rabbi Rucham Lubavitch, that's how you start. One of his fundamental yesodos throughout his Sifrei Musar is that I choose to have no choice. And as when I choose to be mevatel my ratzon to Hashem, in effect, I'm choosing to have no choice. I'm choosing to put myself in the situation where I don't have a choice. I'm an Eved Hashem. I'm going to do what comes naturally to an Eved Hashem. So, and I can't stress this enough, this is where really, if you go back to Adam Arishon, this is where everything comes from. All evil comes from moving away from this bedrock. The bedrock of Avodas Elokim is simply Kenia, just that submission. And submission means that there's nothing else matters, and nothing else is important, and nothing else really is counts. Nothing else is meaningful other than the will of Hashem. That's kniya, that's submission. We're submissive to the will of Hashem. See, what are we submissive to? It's not like just, we're submissive to the will of Hashem. And that's why the Chavis HaLavus develops later, we'll learn it soon. I mentioned it last week that there are no gray areas. That's why he's so insistent that there's no gray areas. He goes through a whole discussion. It's an illuminating discussion where he considers that there are gray areas in life. It's neither mutter nor usser. And he says, no, that's not the point. It's either the will of Hashem or it's not the will of Hashem. There is no gray areas. Oh, Hashem like took a nap now, so now it's downtime, so I can do what I want. There's no such thing. That's because of this. But the beauty of it is that we can now be Avdei Hashem 24 hours a day. When we sleep, when we eat, when we exercise, when we go for a walk, when we play with our children, so we think, okay, I'm not doing any mitzvahs now. I'm being silly. I'm a man. I mean, I have the people in the shul, they go to work, right? The shul's all working people. This is such an important yisod. You go to work, you should be proud of yourself. In Eved Hashem 24 hours a day. Why am I working? Because it's Hashem's will. If you don't think it's Hashem's will, taka quit. If you don't feel that way, you're not working because I have to work. That's what I do. I got to put bread on the table. No. It's Hashem's will. Yeah. If you don't think it's Hashem's will that you should put bread on the table, and it is, because Chazal is the first to say it. He says it constantly throughout the Sefer. You have to go to work and earn a living and put bread on the table. That's Hashem's will. But that means you're doing a mitzvah. You're doing Hashem's will. That's not a mitzvah. You're being an Eved Hashem. Moshe was an Eved Hashem. You could be an Eved Hashem. You're supposed to be an Eved Hashem, and you could be an Eved Hashem 24 hours a day. This sanctifies everything we do. This sentence ends up sanctifying everything we do, because it's not a pressure, adarabba. It's totally encompasses our whole essence. It's not a pressure. I have to be nichnat Hashem. It's be nichnat Hashem. That's what life is. We are Avdei Hashem. We are aware that there's a Borei Olam. We are aware that there's a power beyond us, that everything emanates from that power, everything. And we are put into this world, and this is the Nakuda. He doesn't just put us in this world and say, yeah, have a good time. And if you're good boys, I'll give you a lollipop called Olam Haba. It's much deeper than that. Is we're avodim. There's no getting away. We're also bonim, but we're avodim. We're here to carry out His will with a sense of joy. That's what he's going to talk about. This kniya tachtona. Then he's bothered by what you're bothered by. He says this kniya tachtona, that I'm doing His will and I'm submissive because He's pointing a gun at my head, and He's saying Gehenim if you don't listen, Gan Eden if you do listen. And my whole perspective on life is schar v'onesh. And my whole perspective in life is do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. And there's a bunch of rules I have to follow. But he says that's kniya tachtona. That's a low-level kniya. That's he'ora toronis. See, he connects that to he'ora toronis. That's not the goal. That's a stepping stone. That's what you do because we're immature, and we're fighting that we come onto the right. We understand things late in life, so the other team ran up the score already, and it has the home team advantage. Remember, and it has a lot of allies, and the Seichel has no allies. So the Torah has to has to whip us into shape, or else we're goners. We'll never get anywhere. We'll be like, people on the street. Well, that's what we'll be like. So the Torah says, okay. But that's babyish. Yeah. Pardon the expression. Is it babyish? Then you got to move beyond that. And you got to say, I'm an Eved Hashem. I'm submissive to Hashem because Hashem is the Kel HaGodol HaGibah HaNor, and everything emanates from Him. And I owe Him so much, and I have a Koras HaTov. And I want to do this. I want to joyously do His will. And that's Kniya Elyona. And that's not do's and don'ts. That's appreciation and acknowledgement and everything the mitzvahs mean. Mezuzah means Hashem is Hashem. This is Hashem's house. Not my house. This is Hashem's house. This is a mukum. Every house is based on Mikdash. If you have the right Chodos Halvodos about mezuzah, so every house is a base of Mikdash. Every house is a base of Hashem. Every house is a base of Knesset. That's what he's saying. So this bedrock, of saying that being an Eved Hashem is submissiveness, it allows our whole day. It sanctifies our whole lives. It doesn't limit us. It doesn't bang us down. It sanctifies our whole life. Everything we do now is because it's the will of Hashem, so it's kadosh, and it's a mitzvah. You see, mitzvah now, it's like a childish word almost. Everything's a mitzvah. He doesn't want us to use the word mitzvah, really. I mean, that's a stepping stone. Mitzvahs and averos are stepping stones. We want to move on to Ratzon Hashem or not Ratzon Hashem. So that's what he says. Shegeder avoda knias misha metivin lo, lemeitiv. We're submissive to the one who has bestowed so much good on us, who has created us, who has made us. Betova sheyigmaluhu al tovosu kviyacholto, that I pay back Hashem as much as I'm able to. Vaknia nechlekes, it's so. Really, it's so healthy. It's such a, now everything is now, you know, how do you, women and men who, you know, it's puts everything in the right perspective, and it gives everybody a place in the world. You know, the Chavis Olof says, okay, we'll stop here, but I want to tell you, the Chavis Olof says we're going to have it later in Shabbat Shalom Kim. You would think he's in the Kiruv and he's being the Karev kids. Really, he says, a true Eved Hashem, he says, never be judgmental of other people. He says, don't be judgmental of other people. He said, you see a kid in the street, let's say, he has a belly ring, right? And he has orange spiked hair. He doesn't say that. But that's what he says that. But I'm just bringing it down to us. He has orange spiked hair, and he says, "Don't be. You want to talk to him that you know you really, you know, did you put on tefillin today? You know, let's say." He says, "Oh, you know, because it's good to put on tefillin, and you love this child." And he's a Jew, and you love your fellow Jew, so you hope he put on tefillin today, and you'll talk to him to put on tefillin today because you love him. But don't give him mussar, and don't say, you're a bad kid, you didn't put on tefillin today. What's the matter with you? He says, you don't know. His getting out of bed and just believing in Hashem, and maybe he even said Shema Yisrael with his spiked hair. This is what he says. He says, he might be on a much higher level than you. What did you do? You woke up in the morning, you put on tefillin, because, you know, that's what you do every morning, you know. And you went up and you davened, because that's what you do every morning. And you didn't think about Hashem once the whole day. Hashem, who's that? You know. This kid with the spiked orange hair and the belly ring might have woken up, you know, with a hangover, because he got drunk the night before. And he said, I'm going to sleep a whole day. And then maybe something, he said, you know, there's a God in the world, you know, Shema Yisrael. Yeah, you know, he's miles ahead of you. Now, that's not to say that getting drunk and wearing a belly ring is the equivalent of putting on tefillin. He says that for me. He says, don't be judgmental. You don't know what this kid is all about. You know, he might be on a higher level. He might be more connected to Hashem than you. You don't know. So you love him, and you say, you know, there's so much more you can do. You can put on tefillin. You could dress like a human being. You can get up in the morning. You could not get drunk. You know how bad it is to get drunk? You love him. So you talk to him. That's what he says. We're going to learn it. You love him, so you talk to him that way, like you love him. And you want to tell him what's good for him, you know, you want to help him, you love him, and that's tochacha, the Rambam says. The Rambam says, you know, we say, oh, you have to give someone tochacha and don't embarrass him in public, right? It's much deeper than that, the Rambam says. Tochacha has to be given out of a sense of love, because you care about him and you want good for him. So if you embarrass him publicly, obviously that's not your motivating factor. So keep your mouth shut. Nobody needs your tochacha. If you're not doing it with love, so for that. Be quiet. Be quiet. Who asked you? And now I'm saying, for all you know, he's 10 times better than you are. You're being judgmental. You're saying, what's the matter with you, you piece of garbage? You know, when's the last time you davened? When's the last time you made a bracha? When's the last time you put on tefillin? And you're feeling high and mighty. He says, for all you know, kid's miles ahead of you. He thought of Hashem twice today, and you didn't think of Hashem once in the last 10 years. And it's all about Hashem. It's not about the things we do. Okay.
How do we maintain that inner joy that you talked about at the beginning with every single mitzvah? It seems so unrealistic. On the one hand, Hashem put us in this world of cause and effect. We're meant to be busy and doing and being tested and growing. On the other hand, we're supposed to contemplate and stop and think and focus. And okay, we're of the Hashem, and we dive in, maybe this benching was better than that one, and the Amidah was better this day than that day. But